Good morning. It's 8:16. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Peter Apathy, and I'm in the studio here with a special guest for our live local interview. Peter Bradley is here with me. He's the executive director of the Island Institute. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you having me in, Peter.
I'm very happy to have you in here. You know, I haven't seen you for a while. He's laughing already. So we're going to talk about an upcoming wild language festival, but I don't know, you're looking a little wild yourself. there's been a little transformation in you. You know, if his hair's grown out a little bit. He's got a beard. You didn't have a beard when you came here.
I think that's probably not true.
That's not true. 3 years ago? How long have you been here?
It's been 4 years now.
4 years now. Gosh.
Yeah.
Flannel shirt. It's great. So just to paint the picture a little bit here. So again, Peter is in the studio to talk about the Wild Language Festival, where there's tons of stuff as part of this festival. We're going to try to limit our discussion to just a few things, starting with Alaskan stories.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this event and the weekend in general. We're kicking it off with an event called Our Alaskan Stories, and there will be some students in here on Thursday morning to chat more about it. But in the meantime, we've been working with filmmaker. This is the second year of the program. We've been working with filmmaker Hannah Guggenheim with additional support from Lee House. And they've been teaching the kids the sort of rudiments, the basics of filmmaking. We equip these five students with all the film gear they needed to go home over the summers and share
a
story.
Let's back up a little bit. Yeah. So students from...
From Mount Edgecombe High School.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So this is a school program?
Nope, it's an extracurricular program that the students are voluntarily taking, mm-hmm. though we do get support from Cutting Edge News and Paul Fitzgibbon over there. And so the students went home this summer with an idea of a story that they wanted to share about home. And, you know, we think that these are really important stories that these students from Mount Edgecombe have. And
so where is home for these students?
This year we have students from Nunam Ikwa, from Huna, from Kontiganak, from Heidelberg, and from Dillingham.
So throughout the state.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Heidelberg all the way up.
Yeah.
Northwest. Okay.
And so they shot beautiful footage over the summer. They came home this fall, and they've spent the last couple months editing the footage themselves using the gear over at Mount Edgecombe, and with twice weekly coaching from our group. And the films that they've come up with, short films, are spectacular. And I can't wait to share them on Thursday night at Centennial Hall at 7.
Okay, Thursday night, Centennial Hall at 7 p.m. for the Alaskan Stories season two,
the second edition. Last year's films were beautiful as well, and it's a program that we hope to keep on mm-hmm. going with for a while. And there's Ernestine Hayes will be coming into town just that evening, and she'll be a sort of special guest reader at that event.
Okay, so Ernestine, she's the Alaska Writer Laureate. She's from Juneau.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Alaska Writer Laureate is an honorary position that Alaskans will hold for 2 years at a time. And so she was awarded it last year, or I guess 2017 was her first year. She'll continue into next year. And she's the author of Blonde Indian and The Tao of Raven. And she'll also be sharing some new work at one of three events this weekend.
Okay, should we go into the three events?
Sure, let's get in there. The first one is Our Alaskan Stories,
right?
I can't say enough good things about Ernestine's writing. It's really, really important writing, I think, to be coming out of Alaska right now, that really investigates the colonial legacy in the state and ties directly to the wild language theme in the sense of the process that's happened in the last century and a bit of diminishing Alaska Native languages and instead the drive towards assimilation that's happened in those 100 years to cultures that have existed for thousands. And and it's an investigation of the pain that's come from that process. It's really very powerful stuff. So yes, she'll be reading at Our Alaskan Stories on Thursday at Centennial, and then she'll participate in two other readings on Saturday. Now, the first one is a partnership that we're doing with SJ Museum called Alaska Native Poetry Readings. We'll have a few featured readers reading their own work. That's Louise Brady, Ernestine Hayes, Christina Cranston, and Blossom Twitchell. Mm-hmm. Anybody is invited to come to the event with their favorite poetry by an Alaska Native poet in hand and share some of that work. So a chance during Native American Heritage Month to celebrate the phenomenal Alaska Native writers in the state. That's at 9 a.m. at the SJ Museum. Admission is waived and refreshments will be served. So please do come on out on Saturday. And then Ernestine will also be reading at a celebration of the Alaska Quarterly Review's 35th anniversary. Now, this is, many listeners probably won't be familiar with Alaska Quarterly Review, but it's...
Now they will be.
It's produced out of the University of Alaska, Anchorage, by editor Ron Spatz. It's been in production for 35 years now, and this is a quarterly that I came across on the shelves in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, of all places. It has a long reach. It's an internationally mm-hmm. regarded literary journal that publishes new work of importance by people around the world, mm-hmm. but also by local Alaskan writers, including, over the years, Carolyn Servet, John Straley, and Robert Davis Hoffman of Sitka.
And so they'll all be reading.
That's exactly yes. right. At 4 p.m., 4 to 5:30 p.m. at the Sitka Public Library, we'll be doing that event.
So how did you encounter this in Ottawa?
It was on the shelf, and I would just be a nerd and like check out like the odd, you know, periodicals and literary journals on mm-hmm. on the shelf, and I dug into this one. I think it was probably 2010 that I spied AQR on the shelf for the first time, and in that issue there was this amazing story by a guy named Don Lago.
Not familiar with him.
Nobody is. I haven't even come across him since this. It's one of the magic things about these literary journals is you just get these diamonds in the rough. And it somehow wove together this narrative of Navajo storm pattern rugs and the Grand Canyon and Albert Einstein and smashed it all together into this this just magical story. And so I've been... a fan of AQR ever since. In recent issues, they highlighted John Haynes and John Luther Adams. It's just a terrific quarterly.
Yeah. That's happening Saturday later in the day.
Yep, from 4 to 5:30 at the Sitka Public Library. And again, that's a free event, as all library events are. So come on out. Carolyn's reading will be done remotely from her new home in Colorado.
Oh, wonderful, huh?
Yeah, and John Straley and Robert Davis Hoffman will be there along with Ernestine Hayes to share their work.
There's a lot of stuff going on. You know, what we haven't mentioned is why are you even calling this a wild language festival?
I have a few reasons for it, and I invite people to come up with their own as well.
Uh-huh.
I think part of it is to sort of honor the idea that language is something that we use in the day-to-day to make sense together and to sort of create and work from common ground. But that changes a little bit in art and creative expression and writing when we use language to push beyond what is normally common ground, to explore the outer boundaries of language, the fringes, the wilder side. And so I wanted to take a look at that. I also, if I may, and I hope John wouldn't mind me doing this, I was looking at what he wrote in AQR. This is in like 1990 or something. Mm-hmm. And he has a beautiful poem called Accidental Blessings. But in the middle of it, he has this short, beautiful nugget. that this life is a collision of accidental blessings makes it no less precious or determined. We know the water rises from the oceans, is blown against the mountains, then drops down into streams. But remember, there is no sense in this, and none of the rules that come after matter to those frantic falling waters. This is anarchy, this blessing of rain.
Thanks for sharing that.
And it points to another reason for wild language as a name for this for me, which is that I think this is sort of the special, magic, potent opportunity for writing and creative work in Alaska to highlight the sort of anarchistic wildness that is happening around us all the time and that inspires us daily, and to bring that into creative work.
I'm looking forward to hearing some of that, seeing what wild language really means, which is probably different to every single person that comes across it.
As it should be.
Yeah. So lots of events coming up. We've been speaking with Peter Bradley. He's the executive director for the Island Institute about the Wild Language Festival. It's coming up Thursday. The kickoff event is Thursday evening with the Mount Edgecombe High School students and a showing of the season 2 of Alaska Stories. Hope to get everybody out for that.
May I shout out very quickly one last event?
Because absolutely.
Ellen will beat me up if I don't.
We don't want that.
We're teaming up with Ellen Frankenstein to produce another iteration of Sitka-Tell's Tales, featuring Nancy Douglas, Christian Cordero, Jerry Dugan, Rebecca Hemshute, and Tina Backmeyer, all telling their stories of miscommunication, seeing things in new light, and finding the right words on Sunday from 7 till 9 at the Mean Queen.
If you want any more information, you can call Peter at 747-3794. That's at the Island Institute. So thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
It sounds like a wonderful event.